No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
I ain't got time to bleed.
You got time to duck?
Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse.
And it's time for all of us to collectively get to the chopper! Because we are talking about Predator this week, everybody.
Yeah.
We're getting real good with our shit this week.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure where that sentence is going.
I wasn't either. I was like Michael Scott. I was like, sometimes I just start a sentence and I don't know where it's going.
Way less of a thrilling sentence than that story you were telling me last night at dinner about going to a restaurant with your class.
Just to learn how to properly...
Just learn how to properly eat.
The restaurant that was located in a hotel. So a field trip to another state. I forgot to mention that part too.
This was wild last night, guys. The way he was telling me this.
Okay, so yeah, we're talking about Predator this week.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be getting into here in a little bit. But before we do we have anything we need to announce?
I don't think so, actually. No bonus episodes or anything. We did just do a recording for another podcast, but that's not coming out until October, so we'll let you know about that in a little bit.
Okay. Well, I have our poll results from last week's movie, which was Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And we just wanted to know, we apparently stumbled upon the age-old question, did not do this intentionally.
Yeah, we did not know that this has been an ongoing debate on the internet.
It's just something that we like asked on the episode, and we had a lot of people chime in on this. So, are the stripes on Piglet's torso a tummy? Is that just his tummy, or is that a tank top that he's wearing? So, over on Instagram, 78% say tank top, 22% say tummy. And on Twitter, 64% say tank top and 36% say tummy. So everybody agrees with me that this, well, not everybody, but my theory wins that it's a tank top. That's not, because there's no striped pigs out there in the world. And Joe also said that too. So like multiple people have that thought.
Okay, but if you look at the original books by A.A. Milne, the illustrations that are in there, even when everybody's naked, he's got stripes on him.
Well, he might be the only one that's not naked.
I'm telling you, it's little baby piglet wrinkles. Babies have fat rolls. Mm. Pigs have fat rolls. That's what it is. He's got them sweet little baby piglet fat rolls.
Those are not fat rolls.
They are.
No, they are not.
You just want to go in there and you want to...
Okay. All right. Let's stop getting weird.
Let's keep getting weird.
Okay, so Predator released June 12th, 1987. We watched it on our Blu-ray, courtesy of Chad. Thank you, Chad, for giving us this Blu-ray, because we had never seen this movie until you finally insisted by handing us a copy of it and say, watch it.
Yeah, you made our lives better. You make our lives better by being our friend, but you definitely made our lives better by putting us in an era where we have seen Predator.
Yeah. However, other watch options include streaming on Hulu or Fubo TV, or as Chad said, you can hit him up because he somehow always ends up with extra copies of Predator. So if you, any listeners, know Chad and you need a copy, he's your guy.
Yeah.
He's got like a shit ton of copies of Predator for some reason. Written by Jim Thomas and John Thomas, directed by John McTiernan, music by Alan Silvestri, and special effects makeup by Al DiCero, with the creature design by Stan Winston.
Stan Winston! Yeah.
Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger as Dutch, Carl Weathers as Dylan, Elpida Carlillo as Anna, Bill Duke as Mac, Jesse Ventura as Blaine, Sonny Landham as Billy, Richard Chavez as Pancho, and Shane Black as Hawkins.
Okay.
All right, Jesse, time for our favorite game on the show.
Budget or butted. I feel like it would be cheating for me to guess on this because I heard you watching the special features when I woke up this morning. I woke up right when they were saying what
the budget
was.
They were talking about it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so just for the game, we still got to play. Is it a budget or butted?
Arnie's biceps alone are probably about worth $10 million, I'd say. So
probably.
I'm gonna go with budget.
Okay, it is budget. Not quite as budget as I would have guessed, though. It's only a $15 million budget.
Wow.
Yeah. So they made a lot with little.
Okay.
As they said, most action movies, you're lucky if you get by with 50 million, like, but 15, they made it work.
I know. And that's really surprising to me because I just keep, we even said this last night, like, I kept thinking of Tropic Thunder.
I know, yeah.
And, like, all the explosions and them being in the jungle. And I remember it was, like, a whole report about how much money they wasted messing up the explosions.
Just that one shot?
Yeah, yeah. With Danny McBride.
Uh-huh, yep. Opening box office was $12 million, and the worldwide gross was $98
million. Hell yeah.
One of the highest IMDb scores we've had on the show. 7.8.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it for sure, but I was shocked to see like this have that high of a score. Okay, so I have pulled three movies from 1987 to compare this to.
Okay.
They're not going to be anything like Predator, because there's not a lot of horror movies out there that were like this at the time.
Okay.
But since I like the cast of this movie so much, I decided to pick three movies with what I consider interesting casting decisions.
Okay, I like this theme, and I'm very curious to see what you consider interesting casting decisions.
Well, first off, we have Blood Harvest, which stars Tiny Tim.
I was going to say, that's the Tiny Tim movie, right?
Yep, Tiny Tim, he plays a clown, he walks around with a little ukulele, and he's kind of, he's killing people, but also just kind of being Tiny Tim.
Just tiptoeing through the tulips.
Just tiptoeing through the tulips.
Okay.
Yep. That released January 1st, 1987. Don't have budget or gross information, but I do have the IMDb.
I bet it's on that episode of Last Drive-In.
It probably is. They even had like a conversation with Tiny Tim recorded on there because he talked about it. He's a strange man. But the IMDb is 4.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Next up, Jaws, The Revenge.
Okay, and we need to like start introducing you to the Jaws sequels now that you've seen the original and loved it so much.
It was great.
I am very curious how your journey will go through the franchise, because I know what you like in horror movies, but I also know that you get your expectations set from the first one. So
no, I know that these get really ridiculous and dumb as
okay.
they go.
Okay.
Especially this one right here, I've heard a lot about. Okay, so this is the fourth entry in the Jaws series. The person that I thought was interestingly cast in this is Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
There you go.
He famously says, yeah, this is a terrible movie, but it bought my fucking house. So, you know, I respect it. That released July 17th, 1987. $23 million budget.
Wow.
Worldwide gross, $51
million. Bruce doesn't get out of bed for less than $10
million. It is Michael Caine, apparently. IMDb score, 3 out of 10.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the lowest of all our movies here. All right. And the final movie, Doom Asylum.
Speaking of Chad.
Speaking of Chad. Chad and Joe, both of y'all. Y'all got us.
Well, no, because Chad and Mandy tricked Joe.
Yeah, and then Joe and
Chad.
And
then Joe, he joined their coalition.
Yeah.
It became a Joe-alition, if you will.
A Joe-alition. Yeah, so that's a weird little movie. That one I chose because it has, I think her name's Patty Jenkins. She is the girl that plays Frankenhooker. The reason why I have her as an interesting casting decision is those are the only two movies she ever made.
It's also got freaking what's her face from Sex and the City.
Yeah, it does. Oh my God, you're right. Even more. God, what is her name? I don't know. She's in an episode of Seinfeld also.
Charlotte in Sex and the City. Oh, she's the one that he drops her toothbrush in the toilet.
Yep, that's her. Yeah.
Why can't we remember her name?
I've never seen Sex and the City, so. Okay. I don't know. Like, I wasn't focused on her for this, but that kind of goes with my theme here. So that did help. That released October 28th, 1987. $90,000 budget and a $476,000 worldwide gross.
We covered this on TV or Not to Be several months ago.
It's a weird little episode.
It is. Definitely listen to the episode and make your own call if you want to watch the movie or not.
I think everybody should.
It's an experience. So. Yeah, you have to live through it and then make your own call.
Even
afterwards.
Though we said that we were tricked into watching it by the Joe-alition, we do recommend other people watch it because it is a fun movie. I will say that.
Yeah. I want to do an edit of it. I think if I could get it down to 45 minutes, it'd be really fucking solid.
Yeah, I think it, yeah. Fan edit. 4.6 out of 10 IMDb score for that.
Higher than Jaws.
I know. It's higher than Blood Harvest also. Okay, so taglines.
Okay.
So I'm just going to have to go to the phone.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Oh, some of them might be the ones, the type that you don't like.
Well, I'm definitely, once you get to that point, that's what it is. What the hell is that paragraph?
What? This right here? That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
Hold on. Okay. So the one that is on the poster is, soon the hunt will begin.
Okay. Okay. I'd argue the hunt already began, but...
Well, so, you know, on the way into the theater, you see that, like, soon the hunt's going to begin, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Next up, if it bleeds, we can kill it. That's a good tagline.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a line from the movie, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, the crux to them, you know, forming their plan, so...
This movie, works. A lot of the quotes can be pretty much just, like, used as taglines for a movie,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
I mean, I like that. I think that is pretty good, because then you go in and you're like, oh, something weird is happening. Like, we already know something weird is happening, but like, because like, not having any signs of an ambush plan, stuff like that, it's spooky.
It is spooky, yeah. I like this one too. It came for the thrill of the hunt. It picked the wrong man to hunt.
I'd argue he picked the best man, because we'll get to it, but at the end where he's like, I'm not even going to shoot you, we're fist fighting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Here's the long one. In a part of the world where there are no rules, deep in the jungle where nothing that lives is safe, an elite rescue squad is being led by the ultimate warrior. But now they're up against the ultimate enemy. Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before. It kills for pleasure. It hunts for sport. But this time it picked the wrong man to hunt.
Okay. So that just feels like the voiceover guy.
For trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a world.
All right, here we go. We cannot see it, but it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Heat of the moment.
In this movie, Arnold will experience every meaning of the word pain.
That one's weird. I mean, yeah, but like, he's, that just implies that he's just Arnold, which, I mean, granted, I love the man, but he's not, this isn't his best acting.
Not really, but he does experience all of the meanings of pain.
Yeah, he's betrayed by his buddy. Mm-hmm. He gets hurt a lot.
Physically, emotionally.
Yeah.
Psychologically.
Yeah. He has to see the he's the only one that sees the predator's face.
Yeah. That's
so
true.
That probably hurt his like eyeballs.
Shattered his whole world right there.
Yeah.
He's like, aliens? What
the fuck? He's damaged existentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know what? You've convinced me. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Hey, I didn't. The tagline did. I'm speaking the good word. That's all I'm doing. Okay, so time for fun facts. Okay, so the original plan for this movie, it was going to be a brotherhood of hunters from another planet, but they decided that wouldn't work, so they changed it to be just one hunter.
Okay, so is that why that line in the beginning is maybe missed, where it says there's six sets of U.S. Army boot prints walking away instead of just one?
It could be. Yeah, they could. One of the things I was reading about this is like they apparently had a lot of rewrites done for this, but they ended up just going with the original draft.
Okay.
Apparently that's like a thing that happens a lot in Hollywood. Like, you know, you do it just to like appease the producers and like the execs, and they're like, no, we're gonna go shoot the original show.
But actually.
But yeah, so it's like also hunting the most dangerous species, man. And also like they wanted that to be like a commando dude.
Most dangerous game.
Exactly. It's pretty much the most dangerous game here, except for aliens.
Yeah.
Billy's actor, Sonny,
mm-hmm.
the studio would not allow them to hire him unless they hired a bodyguard. Bodyguard's not for Sonny. Bodyguard is for everybody around Sonny, because apparently Sonny is known for having a terrible temper and he's a super violent dude. So they hired this gigantic 6'8 man just to follow him around everywhere on set. That way he can make sure that he was not going to get into any fights.
I hate that, because I love his character.
I know. His character is great.
Yeah.
But apparently the dude is kind of problematic.
Oh, man. That's something.
I know, right? They were brought in a week prior to meet with a military trainer. So they were able to go over movement and hand signals, stuff like that.
Okay.
Jesse Ventura is actually a Navy SEAL, though, so he knew all this stuff. So he, like...
seems like you could have just let me do this, guys.
he flew through this thing. Everybody else struggled hard. He was like, yeah, I don't think I'd want to go into actual combat with these guys here, but I'd make a movie with them, is what he said. They actually shot in the jungle, so that was all real. But they made a comment that the jungle is not exactly cinematically interesting. There's not a lot of like a horizon there. Like you don't really see much because it's just all like trees and leaves and stuff.
Let me tell you guys, I'm grain-bound colorblind. We've discussed this on the podcast before. This was a fucking nightmare for me, like trying to take note. Because there were times that I legitimately didn't see people in the screen because of their camouflage and their face paint. And I'm like, oh God, there's a person there in the corner. Yeah. Like, can we catch me off guard?
It's a little bit too effective.
Yes.
So, like, in order to make things a little bit more interesting, they would climb up in the trees and they would cut the leaves out to create, like, a little setting and have, like, a little bit more of a horizon visible.
That makes sense.
And then they also built fake trees out of foam just to be able to, like, you know, pretty up the place a little bit. And they also shoot some of that stuff up, so it's kind of cool.
The Predator paradise and put up a fake paradise.
To achieve the camouflage look, speaking of camo for the Predator, he had to run around in a giant red suit. So I'm gonna show it to you after this, but look it up. It's like, it looks so weird. It's like the shape of the Predator, but it's this red fuzzy suit that they're having to run around.
So kind of like a green screen type situation.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
They chose the red because it stands apart from all the greens and stuff like that. And
I use green screen because that's the commonly known term, but yeah.
No, I know, yeah. But that's specifically why they said red, is because it contrasted with all of that there so well. And then to do the thermal vision, they had to do two different shots with the camera in the exact same location. So they kind of like had this device where it rigged the two cameras. One would shoot like actually like the background with like the chroma all the way down, and then the other one kind of had like the thermal sensitive, like the thermal vision, so they could overlay it and combine the two to make like that vision, because you got to have the thermal for the actual person, and then you have to have the actual background there for, you know, that part of his vision.
That kind of explains, because there were several times that I was like, this doesn't look like realistic thermal vision. So
No, it's definitely like a made up thing.
Okay. Which, I mean, I kind of waved it away because sci-fi, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah. The DVD actually has a whole thing of the profile of the Predator. And you can go in there and it examines all of its gear and tells you exactly what it does.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I didn't write any of that stuff down here because that's a lot. But, you know, like, it is out there if you wanted to find
it out.
Yeah,
so if you hit Chad up for a copy
Chad's got you covered.
Predator, make sure to check that out.
Okay, so there were actually two different types of designs for the Predator. They had an original one. They got it there, shipped in, opened it up, got it out, and everybody was so disappointed with it. It was tiny. It had one large eye. Kind of looked like a little dinosaur. The director said, like, I didn't want to do it. I shot two shots with it, and then I just, like, shipped it back, and I called the execs, and I was like, look at this. Is this what you guys actually want us to use? And they're like, no, we don't want that at all. So they course corrected. Phoned up the man, Stan Winston.
Stan the man. The one and only. You know, he did, he also worked with Arnie on Terminator. Uh-huh. He did Pumpkinhead. He's got the Stan Winston School of Design. This man is legendary.
The reason they went with him is because Arnold also, like, really liked working with him before. They're actually friends because they worked on Terminator together. So he suggested him. They called him up, got him over there. He designed this amazing monster that we get for the movie. He bases it off of Russ Safarian Warrior, so that's why, like,
has
the dreadlocks kind of thing.
I always wondered.
One of the guys, when he was on his flight over there and he was just doing sketches, he's like, you know what, I think it'd be kind of cool to see a monster with mandibles. And then Stan Winston said, okay, bet. And then he just, like, actually drew mandibles on there. He's like, yeah, that looks fucking dope.
Yeah, it is really scary when you see, when the Predator takes off that face armor, it's
I know, right? And they had to recast the actor that was going to play the Predator, because I was reading originally it was going to be I can't remember his name. Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, yeah. He was going to be the original actor, but apparently he was on set and complained the entire time about the costume and how, like, it nearly made him pass out when he was wearing it. And he was also 5'9", and he fit the smaller build of it. But this next one was huge. They wanted to tower over Arnold. So they hired this guy, let's see, what was his name? Kevin.
Do we want to get him a full name?
I'm going to get his full name because this guy was pretty awesome. He did really good
like body work, which is pretty impressive considering that he isn't always on screen as the Predator.
Kevin Peter Hall is his name. And they cast him. He's like 7 feet tall.
Wow.
Gigantic.
So this was just a set of tall men.
Yeah, tall, gigantic people.
Some with anger
people.
Issues and some with extensive military, like specialized military training.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a scary set.
Uh-huh. And apparently they said that the Predator suit weighed 200 pounds.
Holy shit, that's a whole other human.
They had to like rig like a bungee like situation on that to be able to like give him, you know. I mean, he's like a giant dude. This guy was massive. Like he's like towering over Arnold. But yeah, 200 pounds is a lot for anybody. I don't care who you are.
Wow.
They actually ran out of money also in the middle of production, and they had to stop filming, which the director actually said was a blessing in disguise because it allowed them to stop, review the footage that they had, reshoot the things that they wanted to do, and like just make the movie better overall. Like they were able to like collect and make adjustments where they saw they were needed. Okay. And apparently he said like, that's how a lot of directors like to do it too. Like apparently Woody Allen, that's how he shoots all of his movies. Like he shoots some of it, stops, edits, puts it together, and he's like, okay, we need to do this.
Well, and we should all take advice from Woody Allen.
Not really, but maybe when it comes to movies. I've never seen a Woody Allen movie, but apparently like he makes good movies from what I've been told. I don't know.
Good movies, bad life choices.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is pretty much... Oh, and also, speaking of the guy that played Predator, Kevin Peter Hall, the director wanted to make up to him for making him wear the suit and be, like, miserable the entire shooting, so he gave him, like, a part with his face on screen, too, and he's one of the guys that is in the chopper that picks them up at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he thanked him for that and at least got him on screen like that, too. So, yeah, that's my fun facts.
Cool.
All right, so let's get into talking about this.
Yeah.
Jesse, what'd you like about this movie?
Oh, man. So it starts off, you feel like you're going to be watching like a typical kind of action war movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it very quickly becomes spooky because they like land in the jungle. They've got this like mystery going on. You can tell that something's following them. And there's a little bit of suspiciousness with Dylan joining, even though he doesn't do these kinds of missions anymore. Like, we've got all of these elements that are coming together to make a really spooky atmosphere. I also really like the music. It's very Harry Manfredini meets Danny Elfman.
So good. The string music for this, it's such a nice touch.
Yeah.
And like even like the little like sounds, like a, just the like sound design even for when you get into the Predator vision.
Yeah, the clicking that I tried really hard to do last night and couldn't emulate.
I was reading about that. They asked the guy like to come up with what that sound would be for the Predator. And they're like, okay, I don't, like they were hesitant to show him what it looked like. And then they finally, you know, let him see it. And he's like, oh, that kind of looks like a crab. And then he had a memory of when he was little and there was this like type of crab that he would take. And if he would like flip it over on his back, it would make that sound. So he's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to make it make that sound.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like impressive the amount of detail and thought that went into the creature for this thing.
I also think we just get like a good sense of who the characters are. So they're not just cannon fodder. And I think it really helps, too, because they are meant to be an elite squad, so they should have kind of like a way of interacting with each other that feels natural. So I think they did a really good job with that. And look, I know I said this isn't Arnie's best acting, but I do appreciate that they gave him one-liners because my Mr. Freeze can deliver a one-liner like no other.
He improvised some of them. He improvised the stick with it.
Yeah, stick with it. And then he like walks into a room with Noelle and goes, knock, knock.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
He delivers so many good lines on this.
Yeah, it's just, it's a really good, like it's an interesting story. The character is frightening because it's just hunting for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like, cause it's not really eating it or anything. It's taking trophies and the trophies or the humans themselves, not like when we think of like human serial killers that take trophies.
Yeah.
You know, they take like watches and stuff like that. Like this is.
Some people take pieces like body parts.
Some people do. Yeah. Yeah, but like this is, I just, it's a really well told story.
I agree.
And I have so many, and it's just, you don't really have, like, you've got the highs and lows with it to keep it, you know, interesting, but it doesn't ever really, like, drag.
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you said. I love the stalking that the Predator mm-hmm. does. Like, when we get those shots of the Predator vision, and it's just, like, the thermal, and it's just creeping and watching them from a distance.
Like, it watching the scorpion die in its hand.
Yeah, that was so cool.
That was such a cool, like,
yeah.
moment.
It was. This movie has some of the most amazing set pieces, too. When they are tackling the refugee, or not the refugee, the guerrilla camp, so many explosions. The stunts that they had there were incredible. They were, like, actually firing real rounds, I think. Like, that Gatling gun, the painless, is, like, straight up a real gun. And they gave it to Jesse Ventura because he can handle it, because he's an experienced, you know.
Yeah, and I overheard the special features when you were watching it, where they were saying, like, they made a point of putting every single one of the actors involved directly in the action at some point. So that way the audience feels in the action.
Yeah, yeah. It was so cool. It's so well done. I love the characters in this movie. Arnold's character is so great. I like the final showdown a lot between them, because I respect the hell out of the Predator just like going
unhooking like, his shit. Like, he is the drunk woman at the bar taking out earrings. Her earrings.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's awesome. He's like, you know what, man? Let's get personal with this. Like, take off all my gear. I'm fucking you up.
I love that moment, because at first I was like, why is he walking away? Like, why would he leave Arnie? Like, he can't be that intimidated by him. And then he's like, no, no, no. Fisticuffs, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is just so much fun to watch. Like, I was smiling the entire time. Zoe was having the time of her life with all these explosions. I mean, like, just fun characters, fun story. Like, I don't know. It's just a great thing to watch. Okay, so bad stuff. It's kind of hard to think of bad.
Yeah. I think probably all the stuff with Anna.
She doesn't get it. I want to shine.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. Like, and I get that they are taking her because she's got intelligence that they want. But like the whole like taking hostage of, you know, this person, like, it's just confusing the way it's done. And it feels kind of like it's meant to be in there. So that way she could give some of the background on, you know, things that have been happening and stuff. Which, like, I get it. You have to have a character to do that. But it does feel very like that, you know, and guess what, still not passing the Bechdel test.
I mean, she's just she's just there to kind of serve as like, yeah, this is the shit that's going down.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have had more moments of her to like actually have a moment, like shine a little bit,
because
I mean, she's capable. She's part of the gorilla group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Which is like ends up being Arnie's point later when he takes off her handcuffs or restraint or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I mean, like, other than Arnold's acting, but the thing with Arnold's acting, like, it kind of has a charm to it.
I mean, you see his sweet little smile and you're like, damn it. I understand why he's the leader. You know what I mean? Like,
I just love how he's like, one of the guys like reminds me of Afghanistan. He's like, you remember? And he's like, remember, I'm trying to forget. And he's like smiling the entire time. I'm like, Arnold, you're not supposed to be smiling during that. That's PTSD.
Yeah.
He's like, I love this.
Also, he looks really good in red.
Who, Arnold?
Yeah.
Is he wearing red?
Yeah, at the beginning when they come in on the chopper.
You're right.
Yeah, and I'm like, dang, that's a good color for you, man.
I love that he's just like smoking those stogies the entire time too. That's so fucking cool. Yeah, I mean, I really don't have much else bad to say about this. I mean, I know the Predator gets like not a whole lot of screen time, but that's because it's kind of camouflage most of the time.
Yeah, and that's what makes it scary, like us seeing just enough glimpses to know that this is something otherworldly, but also maybe not, you know, maybe it's somebody with like thermal stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It keeps just enough mystery there for us until we see like the effects of it, you know, jumping invisible through the jungle.
I mean, we know it's an alien from the very beginning. We see the spaceship.
Well, yeah, but I already forgot about it there being a spaceship, so.
Yeah, it like launches from the pod at the beginning of the movie. But for them, like, it kind of puts you in the moment if you're following them. Like,
see, I'm the type of audience member that you can throw something like that at the beginning and I will forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, ugly.
I'm going to say Hawkins's pussy jokes.
Yeah.
And also like Blaine using some slurs at the beginning that I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, both of those are what I would choose to. It was funny hearing Shane Black talk about like going to the theater to watch this with his wife, and she was not amused with those jokes. He's a writer. He wrote the Predators movie that came out in the 2010s. He wrote Iron Man 3 also, and Nice Guys.
Oh, dude, he wrote Nice Guys?
And like all of the Lethal Weapon movies.
Wow.
Yeah, like they actually, in the special features, they cast him to kind of like trick him into doing a rewrite of the script. Yeah, they're like, well, since you're here, and they didn't use this thing, and he didn't write, he's like, no, I'm not doing that, but I'll act. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Nice Guys, not a movie we'll ever cover on this show because it's not horror, but it's a good movie and you should watch it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Yeah. All right, absurd. What is absurd about Predator?
Again, I gotta go with the thermal stuff. It's just not realistic. Him just covering himself with mud is not going to be enough to block the Predator from sensing his core body heat unless he was actually approaching hypothermia.
Well, speaking of that, he also has the thermal vision without the helmet on. Like, we get to see what he's looking at when he takes it off. He's like, still thermal. Like,
yeah.
What? So what's the helmet there for?
To protect his feet.
Or something else. I don't know. But maybe I thought
it's part
funny.
Of like his camouflaging.
It could be. I just thought it was like also giving him thermal vision, but no, he's like, no, this is just how I see.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd say that. And also what's his name? Dylan getting his arm shot off.
Oh god.
They just shot off.
Yeah, I like that. It's the same one that he was doing the arm wrestling with Arnold with
too. That like famous meme that everybody's got. Yeah.
It's so good. My absurd moments are...
Also, can we talk about arm wrestling midair? That's not how arm wrestling works.
No.
You're supposed to put your elbows because you got to have the equal position. Okay. Anyway.
Maybe it's like a another like type of arm wrestling or something. Like when you get to a certain swollenness, like that's kind of the established... I don't know.
I'm also them trying to imply that Dylan ever had as big of muscles as Dutch.
They actually had a competition on set about who had the biggest arms. Arnold tricked the wardrobe person and had them measure Jesse Ventura's arms and tell them that he was an inch bigger than Arnold's arms. So like whenever he found out about that, he went to Arnold and he's like, hey, let's like, what do you guys think we should all just like measure each other's arms, like, you know, compare? And he's like, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And then, like, they actually measured, and Arnold was 3 inches bigger than his.
Arnold, you sneaky little prankster. Yeah. You schemer.
They had, like, a whole, like, workout competition thing, too, apparently. Like, they took it fucking serious there.
Dude, Arnold's wild about exercise. He compares getting a good pump in at the gym to orgasming.
They would wake up at 4 a.m., go lift weights, eat, run for an hour, go out, shoot the movie, come back home or back to set or wherever they were staying, work out, run another hour, then sleep. And then that was their life on set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. My absurd for this is the tense scene when Max just decides to break out a razor and shave his very already cleanly shaved face.
I believe sweats? You mean he's shaving his temple?
I think he's shaving the sweat off of his face because, like, that guy sweats a lot. He's just one of those guys, like, that's a humid setting.
God.
I think he's a sweater. Yeah, I think he's just trying to, like, shave it off and then he just cuts himself.
Like, he didn't have a handkerchief, so he's just like, squeegee.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you rate this?
Oh, God, I think this is a 10. It's too good to give it a lower rating, and it's so enjoyable.
I think I agree, man. This is a 10. Like, it's just so much fun. I know that there's a debate out there about whether or not this is a horror movie, but I 100% believe it's a horror movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely got, like, it's actionier. than a lot of horror movies, but it's definitely got they're being stalked through the woods by a killer.
I mean, it's one of those ones, like, it starts as your typical action movie and then it tricks you into becoming a horror movie. Like, I think it's like a subversion type thing. Like, it's kind of all part of the original vision is what I thought, at
yeah.
least. Okay, so let's get into talking about this one.
Okay. Support for What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with the code LEASTFAVE20. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming. No surprises. Now, Travis, I need to ask you about your balls.
My jewels.
Yeah.
We've all had the trimmers that have not exactly been kind to our jewels before, but...
Yeah, you wouldn't think that an electric trimmer should cause any kind of bleeding. That's supposed to be for a straight razor, and yet... Yeah.
Well, okay... We're not all out there using the little razors like Mac was in this movie, okay? Yeah. Sometimes we need something like the Lawnmower 5.0 mm-hmm. Ultra because it's the fifth generation trimmer, features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and then a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Also, features dual LED spotlights, so you'll be able to achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free.
Yeah, no yoga in the bathroom, trying to get the right kind of lighting, exactly. Making sure you're hitting everything. Also, we discovered this today while you were trimming up your face, because you can use the trimmers on your face as well.
That's true.
The blade guards, you know, we talk about the easy carrying bag that we've got for this and how I appreciate that the underneath of our sink isn't a disaster.
Yes.
I'm very big on organization and it's great. But even better than that is that we don't have to pile 10 million different trimmer heads in there. You know, the blade guards to get the right kind of length for what you want, because it's 3-in-1 for each trimmer guard.
Exactly.
And you can just pop it in, slide it to whatever length you want it to be.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
Like it's nice to have like an all-in-one type blade like that.
Yeah.
It's also waterproof, so you can get into the shower and not make a mess like that. It can all go down the drain, which everybody appreciates not having to clean up. That's one of the worst parts of shaving.
And I'll be honest, I've used it on my armpits just to see if I liked how it felt as well, and it I do it in the shower
and it works.
Yeah, it works, and it makes cleanup both of the hair trimmings and of the razor itself a lot easier.
Yeah, trust us, this trimmer will be your crown jewel's new best buddy, or its face. Like your face might love it too.
Yeah. Or your armpits. You know,
or your armpits, whatever.
Wherever you're going. Wherever hairy you toes, hair. You can trim your hairy toes with it. Yeah.
Got sweat on your face, you can do that too, apparently.
Got sweat on your balls.
Got sweat on your balls.
Got ball deodorant.
Got ball deodorant.
Yeah, that's nice. So it's not just trimmers that we've got available at Manscaped. Go check out all of their products. Mm-hmm. We've gotten t-shirts from them as well. Super soft, dude.
Yeah.
So soft.
So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code LEASTFAVE20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code LEASTFAVE20 at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove.
Now it's time for us to run! Go to the chopper!
In outer space.
Where no one can hear you scream.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That will be much later on down the line.
Yeah. We'll get to that one. Dude, we got to have a crossover.
I know. We got to figure out a good way to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. So outer space. We see a spaceship flying by and a pod launches from it, shooting it down towards Earth.
See, and I did not write very many notes about this. And as we've already established, I immediately forgot this
about
happened.
That. Yeah. Yep.
I was like, right. Oh, pretty stars. Ooh, orbiting thing.
So now we get the chopper. Mm-hmm. It's flying over the ocean, lands, and the crew exits. And then Arnold is the last one out. He's lighting up a cigar.
Hold on. Chopper over water, lands on beach. Spitty boys inside. Arnie lights up before getting out. Like a cool guy.
Yeah. He is cool, man. I feel like he's getting style points right there.
Like I said, I would follow this man.
He's probably like, hey guys, hey boys, we're gonna be meeting Dylan over here. I gotta look real cool.
Like, you guys don't even understand. Dylan's the best.
He's probably going to try and arm wrestle me.
Yeah, and I'll make him think he's going to win, but don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry about it, guys.
All right, so they're talking about Lost Chopper 18 hours ago.
The general is telling Dutch that they were lost. They figured that it's somewhere in enemy territory. They want to get the hostages saved. They're like a star squad. They specialize in rescues, and they very specifically do not do assassination missions.
Yeah, they're pretty much like mercenaries that are just like, they're just brought in when you need shit done.
No kill mercenaries.
Yeah. Except they kill a lot of people in this, so.
Collateral damage.
Yeah. Okay, so then we get to see Dylan. He's like, Dylan, you son of a bitch. Yeah. I promise I'm not going to be doing Arnold impersonations the entire
That's a promise he's not going to keep, fellas.
I'm going to try. But I love their when they meet back up and they they lock arms and then they start to have that arm wrestle. And he's like, oh, the CIA kind of getting you weaker by pushing too many pencils.
Yeah. So they're having this whole moment. It's established that they're buddies. And it's nice to see them so excited to see each other, which makes the betrayal coming up all the worse. And Dylan's like, I'm going with you because you know our team always works alone. He goes, not today. And he's like, well, it's Dylan. I trust you implicitly.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
So now they're flying in. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have backups. The music playing on the radio is kind of nice for background here. And I like it too. Mac is singing it later right before he bites it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, right. So I was like, cool, this is Mac's call. I like Mac and Billy are my two favorite from this crew.
I like this whole scene of them riding in because I feel like it's perfect for establishing our group of guys here. They it's all like the stereotypical crew from an action movie.
Yeah, so Billy isn't putting up with Hawkins's misogynistic bullshit jokes. He just kind of stares at him until he shuts up. Blaine makes a really distasteful joke and also implies that gay men can't be Tyrannosaurus Rex lovers, which I'm not buying.
He suggests the cure to homosexuality is chewing tobacco. I don't understand.
It's all very problematic.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Not a fan of Blaine or Hawkins immediately from this ride over.
I do like the idea of Hawkins being a guy that's just trying to tell these jokes and they just don't land with anybody.
I imagine Hawkins is a virgin.
Probably, yeah. He's the nerdy guy. He's the Jay Baruchel of Tropic Thunder.
Nerds can have sex. Hello, we're married.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, he's the nerdy. He's that guy in this right here.
Yeah, he's the Jay Baruchel. He's
the person that's not supposed to be a part of this piece.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see what else.
They arrive at the location.
Yeah.
They drop into the jungle and they find a crashed chopper in the trees.
And this dropping into the jungle, it's so cool. They look like little spider webs, spiders coming down from their webs, which. Yeah. As much as it freaks me out every time I see it happen, I am very amazed at how quickly a spider can shoot silk out of its butt and also maintain control.
I think whenever I see it, it's farting. I don't know.
Oh my God, do you think spiders ever accidentally fart when they're releasing their web and it's embarrassing? You know, when Talia jumps on the couch and farts and she puts her ears back.
I mean, honestly, I'm just wondering, do spiders fart? Just in general. My guess is probably no, but we're way too far off topic here.
Okay. I mean, they have a digestive tract.
Look, we're off topic here, okay? All right, so they take a little grappling hook and they climb up into the chopper to check out the scene. Looks like it was a surveillance bird, and they find that heat seekers are what took it out.
Yeah, supposedly they thought it was... They were led to believe that it was a transportation chopper, taking soldiers somewhere. Mm-hmm. But then they're seeing that it's surveillance. And they also notice that stuff is missing. So they think that two were taken because there's a third dead in the chopper already. And they see six pairs of U.S. Army boot footprints trailing. The gorilla footprints. So it's not the gorillas that took the army items. They think it's a secondary group.
Yeah. Dutch is kind of confused and he asks Dylan, he's like, I thought you said nobody else was in here. And then Dylan's like, well, it must have been one of the rebel patrols. So you're kind of already getting Dylan might not be telling the truth
here.
Well, because Dylan's with the CIA, and like, I mean, their whole thing is that they've got information that they keep super, super fucking classified.
Well, I mean, he's also just trying to deceive these guys, so and he doesn't want to give them the full picture.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, they keep their shit super, super classified, and they need to get things done, whatever it takes. And a lot of times, that does mean lying, even lying to your own men,
even to your best bubby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where I have the note. Trying to forget Afghanistan with a smile.
So Billy drinks from a branch, a vine. I am
branch.
Not. Yeah. What kind of tree is it?
I don't
Can
know.
You just drink from trees like this?
It might be one. Like, I think some trees have like a little bit of water stored in them.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. Hunger Games. They do that. Yeah. And this common in jungles, I guess. But like, I don't know. It was just wild to watch it happen. And then what happens? He hears some flapping sounds. So he goes to investigate. He climbs up in the trees and finds three like
skinned up bodies.
I'm glad that they use the word skinned later, because I wrote degloved and I was like, does that apply to an entire body?
Yes.
Because I forgot about the word skinned.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's one way to say it. Like, they got degloved, but yeah, it's just like their skin.
And
it's just nasty.
One of the dog tags is on the ground and it says Jim Hopper. Is that where they get the name for Hopper in Stranger Things?
It's gotta be. Like, the whole series is a homage to 80s.
Yes, I feel like it has to be. He Dutch knew him. Hopper was a Green Beret out of Fort Bragg. And those guys are like, it's the Army version of like the Navy SEALs. Like, they're the badass. Like, they go on all these different missions, special training, special testing to become a part of. So
Billy can't find any tracks for who did this either. So they're really confused about what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, because Dutch is like, well, they must have been ambushed. And Billy's like, there's no trace of any ambush in and no trace of anybody leaving.
Yeah. So
Dylan is out of shape and loud. That's what I wrote. And Mac does not have fucking time for it. He's like, I will bleed you, motherfucker.
I love this line. He's like, I'll bleed you real quiet, leave you here. It's just like, damn, okay, I'm sorry. You also get like a little bit of predator vision. So we see that the predator is actually watching them from where they are in the, like, up in the trees. Painless is unleashed also by Blaine. He's starting to get the heebie-jeebies, so he's like, all right, we're gonna have to get the fucking reinforcements out.
Yeah.
So
Gator stumble... gotta have his
gat. Gator's gotta get his gat. All right, so they stumble upon the enemy base. It's the gorilla base. They all kind of like slow crawl up there, and Dutch peeks over and he sees them with a prisoner of war, and they assassinate the dude.
Yeah.
So he calls all of the people up there and tells them to get into position.
So they split up and they sneak in. Dutch starts the kind of he makes way for everybody else to sneak in by getting a vehicle going and setting it off its tracks.
I think it was already running. I think it was like acting as a generator for the place. Yeah, so he like lifts it up and causes it to roll into a building, which for whatever reason must have been rigged with explosions, because the place just like explodes massively.
I'm sorry, do you not remember anything from Halloween 2? If a vehicle hits something or someone, instant explosion.
They might have had Ben Tramer in there. Like, it just like made like just very slight contact with him, and it's just like
top secret U.S. government building is just putting out Ben Tramer clones and sending them into enemy territory.
And this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. So everybody just goes fucking nuts. They get all the guns out. They start unleashing hell. Explosions everywhere.
They
just
completely ground
everywhere.
A chopper so it can't fly away, because some of them are trying to fly away in it. Arnie has some lame one-liners, and I love it. You guys know that I've said multiple times Batman and Robin is one of my favorites, and I will say at least 75% of that is Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
It's just Arnold being Arnold, man. Like, he just makes movies good. Like,
but
he's
we also
got
can't
that
forget
charisma.
Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. She's the other 25%. Now, she's 23%, and then 2% is bat nipples.
Yeah, bat
so
nipples, yeah.
That's the breakdown of why everybody should love Batman
also,
and Robin.
Clueless Girl as Batgirl?
Alicia Silverstone.
She's great. She's great in that, too.
Yeah, she's really solid.
All right, so they're infiltrating the place. Dutch makes it into the encampment, and he manages to knock out one of the people there. This ends up being Anno.
Max says, "Hey, boss, these hostages were all CIA and their captors were Russian, which is really weird where we're at."
Yeah, it's really weird, too, that some of the people down there were speaking Spanish and then others were speaking Russian. So there's like a mixture of people down there.
I think the Spanish. Yeah, that's I didn't bother to look up which particular. And here's the thing, is the U.S. is always meddling in something. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be a major war that's going on.
No. Yeah.
Time that they're referencing.
It's probably just in like a Spanish like speaking location is where.
Yeah, we don't get a location, do we?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
This is also where we get the line where it's Mac and Blaine together, and he's like, "You're bleeding." He's like, "I ain't got time to bleed."
Because you got time to duck. And guys, duck is Talia's sleeper agent word. It has been since she's a puppy. She doesn't like ducks. She doesn't trust them. She has a moral like predisposition against ducks. And when Mac says, "You got time to duck," Talia started fucking barking at the TV. She was upset. Not feeling it.
Yeah, she was very mad about that. All right, so everything's calmed down. Dutch realizes that this is a setup from Dylan, so he confronts him on it. Apparently, they ended up stopping an invasion by doing this.
Yeah, it's a very like a trolley problem type thing in his head. He was like, "We're looking, you know, the end result is more lives are saved."
I did something shitty, but like it was like for the greater good.
That's
essentially,
yeah, that's what he's trying to say. But Dutch is, you know, obviously very betrayed because they thought they were doing a rescue mission and they were turned into assassins, which is not the job that they all thought that they were signing up for. They were okay with needing to shoot and explode if that's what they had to do to rescue their people, but they weren't going in there just
with that,
to kill people.
Yeah, that wasn't their goal. And Dylan kind of gets a little bit mean spirited with this, and he just tells him, it's like, "You guys are a NASA, like, you know,
you guys are expendable."
Yeah.
And then he decides that he's going to take Anna as his hostage, and Dutch says, "I will have nothing to do with it. She is yours to deal with."
Mm-hmm. So the Predator is watching them again.
Mm-hmm.
Mac calls Dylan over, and he's like, "Hey, Dylan, come here." And then he slowly walks over. He's like, "Turn around." So he slowly turns around, and then Mac takes a knife. Stabs Dylan right on the shoulder, and you think it's going to be like a betrayal, but nope, there's a fucking scorpion on his back.
Top three fears.
Yeah.
Top three fears.
But it's badass, man. I fucking love how he's like, "Get over here." Like, he just fucking stabs it like that.
Which, then, this is me. This is how I feel every time in the summer when we're outside and you're like, "Hey, come here and turn around." And I know that there's a bug on me. I know that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So this being a scorpion is like extra nightmare fuel for me. They have to take a path out because their rescue chopper won't come in this close. And the path, according to Billy, is really bad. And apparently that's like Billy's big thing. So they're all like, "Well, that sucks because we believe you that it's bad, but they have to go."
I like this moment, though, when they're on their way out. When they're on their way out, the Predator swoops in, like, picks up the scorpion just to look at it, which is kind of fucking creepy. But also, Hawkins tells another big pussy joke to
Billy,
and then, like, there's a pause there, and then he lets out this gigantic laugh, and that's what the predator walks in, he, like, records it.
Yeah.
That's fucking creepy that he, like, replays the audio from all of his, like, squad mates
to
him later.
Yeah, and I think Billy's brain broke in this moment.
Yeah,
and he just couldn't process his emotions, so he had like inappropriate laughter. I refuse to believe he actually thought that the joke was funny.
I think he did. It's one of those ones where it kind of becomes an anti-joke eventually, where you're just kind of laughing at how stupid it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
I wouldn't say it's an anti-joke. I'd just say it's not funny.
You're not laughing at it for the reasons that you should.
Yeah, laughing at it because it's so stupid.
His
delivery is bad.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it kind of felt like Hawkins was leaning into that. He's like, "Yeah, I know this is stupid, but yeah." Okay, so they kind of hesitate. Billy spooked, and I like how Dutch is like, "Billy spooked, what happened to him?" And
yeah, he said he's never scared of anything, so they're frightened by the fact he's frightened.
"Billy spooked, been acting squirrely all morning. Damn nose of his or something." Like, apparently this guy, like, he's a natural for, like, sniffing out and just finding trails or tracks or just anything suspicious out in the wild.
Senses danger, like, all of that. Like, he's a good person to have on, you know, a rescue team.
Yeah,
really.
And he's just out there and he's staring into the trees. And then as this is happening, we see Anna. She grabs the
poncho stick.
Yeah,
she hits him.
Yeah, she hits him. Runs. She makes an escape attempt. Hawkins grabs her.
Yeah.
So, but as that happens, the Predator swoops in and grabs Hawkins and drags mm-hmm. him away.
Yeah.
So, Poncho gets her. She's fucking freaked out, and they want to know what happened. So they ask her, and they say that she's not making much sense with her answer, but it's basically she's saying the jungle came alive and dragged him away.
Yeah, so when they catch her and they go to look for Hawkins's body, they just find what I referred to as a bloody meat mess.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like enough to be a body, so they decide that they're going to go around and look for him.
Did you find Hawkins? It's like, I don't know. Like, it's just like a
which
fucking...
is a bad, bad answer to hear.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Like, it's just like a fucking pile of flesh.
Yeah.
Dutch sends the squad to go get the body. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, we need to get his body. So everybody split up and let's go get it.
Yeah. His weapons and his radio were left by the bloody meat mess also. So they're like, that's weird. It clearly isn't like a guerrilla fighter because they would have taken our stuff.
We get a shot though, and we see that he's up there in the trees. He's hauling and he's getting de-skinned.
Yeah, his skin is about to become a lot less stable on its own.
Mm-hmm.
so Blaine gets shot and killed.
Yeah, the Predator mm-hmm. arrows. They shoot him right through the chest.
And Mac kind of like sees him because he sees like the shifting in the trees. And like from his perspective, it's kind of like when you're grilling and the heat's coming off the grill and it distorts things. That's what it kind of looks like.
Uh-huh. And he like gets that vision of it. So he goes chasing after it just because like him and Blaine were buddies. Like that was his best buddy right there.
And he's shooting wildly and he says, contact, and everybody comes running and they just trust him and they're shooting too.
I love though that he takes painless
hundreds of rounds.
I just like how they're like, let's just fucking shoot the jungle. Like they just shoot everything there.
Yeah.
And then they go and they check to see if there was a trace of anything because they obliterated everything, but Billy doesn't find any trace at all. However, Anna happens to see green little mm-hmm. radioactive looking blood on the leaves, so.
And they see the wounds on Blaine, and they don't have any like powder residue, and they're already like thoroughly cauterized. And they realize that they hit nothing, except for, like you said, Anna sees the blood on a branch. So they take Blaine's body, wrap it up in his poncho, and then they decide that they're going to set up traps, kind of like a little tripwires.
Mm-hmm. They tell Dylan to get on the radio too.
So the Predator is doctoring its own wound. It's kind of cool to watch it do it, and I love that it's doing it with its massive claws. So next time you see a person with really long nails, be they acrylic or natural, don't ask them how they do fucking shit with it. Just watch Predator and watch it heal its own wound and be like, oh yeah, sometimes people can just actually have dexterity.
Yeah, I guess so.
I hate, as somebody with long nails, I hate it when people are like, how do you put in your contacts? How do you wipe your butt? And I'm like, these are really invasive questions. Please
those are really
alone.
Weird.
Yeah.
I like, it's sad to see the scene with Mac when he's just saying goodbye to Blaine though, and he like gives him one last drink from the flask.
He swears his vengeance.
Nah. I felt bad for him. It's just so sad.
Yeah, and they have to stay there for the night because the chopper won't extract them where they're at. They say the area is still compromised. Next contact will be in the morning. And then Billy is kind of acting like the harbinger mm-hmm. as well. So that doesn't do any good. And they put Mac on first watch, which I think makes sense because even though he's like kind of grieving the hardest over Blaine, he still has a lot of that adrenaline, and then once he crashes, he's probably going to be crashed hard, so it would be a bad idea to put him on a later watch and have to rouse him.
But they're like trying to gather again what it was that they're dealing with, and Mac just keeps saying like the ice disappeared, like I don't know what to tell you, like there were ice there and they just went away. So then they ask Anna one more time what happened to Hawkins, and she just repeats the same thing. Jungle came alive and took him away.
So Mac is attacked while he's on watch, and they all hear him yelling and fighting something, shooting and stabbing. So they chase, run after him, and find him killing a wild boar.
I mean, that boar was aggressive, though. It tackled him.
Yeah. So when they get back to camp, they're surprised to see that Anna's still there, but Blaine's body is gone, and the tripwires never even got set off. Yeah. So they're like, no trace again. And they realize that it must be because whatever it is using the trees. And the hostage says that it changes colors, kind of like a lizard. And she says that, you know, it was wounded before. She also reveals the blood. So that's when they decide that they're going to set more traps.
I like how, like, Dutch is like, all right, I'm going to ask her myself. And she's like, cool, because I can speak English too. Like, she just feels like, I've heard all the shit you guys have been talking about this entire time.
Yeah. Basically, because Dylan's like, we need to just try and get to the rendezvous point. And Dutch is like, it is hunting us, picking us off one by one. We need to kill it. So there's people for the chopper to pick up.
Did you mention that Pancho got hurt? Because one of the traps got set off and it was the log and it swung down and hit him. So he's injured now too.
Yeah, I missed that.
All right. So now they're just kind of being vigilant. Dylan hears a voice whisper to turn around though, which is creepy because you've seen already that the Predator can emulate voices. Mm-hmm. But he goes back there and it's Mac. Mac is just creepily getting Dylan's back the entire time in this movie.
Yeah. This is where he's shaving his temple.
Mm, and then he like tells him, he's like, look over there. I see it right there. And then like you can see it in the distance. There's like that little like waviness that you were talking about before it. The Predator is just kind of up in the tree, just standing there.
So Anna says that this has happened before, especially when it's hot out. And she says that they all think of it as a demon and it makes trophy of men. So it's not like, it's not hunting for food, it's hunting for sport and it's keeping them as trophies. Kind of like, you know, when people hunt deer for sport or hunt, you know, fucking endangered species for sport.
Oh shit, no. Well, hold on.
And then this is where a tripwire goes off. It explodes, the Predator escapes and Pancho is wounded.
So we are like way on different pages because I was way past that in my notes. Oh. Where I was talking about here.
Oh, yeah. No, this is where I'm still at.
No, like, okay. So after all of that is when he calls Dylan over to tell him, like, that's where the Predator is.
And then
he starts to crawl in over there to it. And then as it happens, he gets the laser on him and he's like, oh shit. And then it blows his head off.
Yeah. It's so sad.
Yeah, Dylan finds Mac's body, and then he sees the Predator himself and starts to shoot at it, but then the Predator shoots Dylan's arm off.
Yeah, and then we just kind of hear an off-screen yell, and it's implied that he was killed.
No, he pulls out knives and grabs him and just, like, straight up stabs him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. I assumed that he lived longer, so I didn't make a ton of notes. I just read that his arm got shot off. The rest of the group is running. Billy, like, keeps himself back, like he's like kind of using himself as bait or whatever.
Yeah, he's gonna take it on.
Dutch gets shot and he just like falls off a cliff and falls off a waterfall. It shoots Pancho's, the river.
They shoot Pancho's ear off, then it shoots Dutch. That's when Dutch yells at Anna and the rest of them to get to the choppa, and then Dutch runs off. So they have all split up. That's when Dutch goes and he slides down the mountain and then he slides into the river, which then causes him to go down the river and then fall off of a waterfall.
No, he like boo, 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 rolls down a cliff to get to the river.
He slides.
It's okay. It's not, you're making it sound way more intentional than it.
It's not
controlled.
No, I'm not meaning it was like intentional, like he accidentally slips down and he slides, like he's not intentionally going off of a cliff. I don't think anybody would be doing that other than Rambo. So and as that's happening, the Predator actually is falling behind him.
Yeah,
and he's like in the water
when he comes up at the bank of the river. He's completely covered in mud and the Predator can't sense his like surface level heat, so he's kind of like camouflaged that way. We see Billy is dead. Dutch decides that he's going to make some weapons and he prepares to fight the Predator. And when the Predator approaches, they've got like a little bit of like a cat and mouse, and he tries to lure him over. And basically when the Predator does approach, he doesn't fall for the trap. Mm-hmm. But that's where he like takes off his mask and he's like, we're fucking fighting. And Arnie calls him one ugly motherfucker.
I like how he doesn't fall for the trap and then he goes to try and get him. And then that ended up being what Dutch was expecting him to do. So he then like kicks the thing that was supposed to be the trap and it causes a weighted thing to fall on top of the Predator.
Yeah. It's like, I put it as a sandbag.
It's pretty much.
That's what it looked like to me. So the Predator's got like this little cuff on its arm, and it hits some buttons, and an explosion happens. And we see the chopper at the nearby rendezvous point start to leave with Anna. And Dutch is on the ground, and he's kind of like, you know, badass movie star, explosions and dust all around him. And he assumes the Predator's dead and everything's good. And then the chopper comes and gets him.
We kind of like gloss over a lot of shit there at the end.
I don't write out a lot of the moves of the fight when it's a lot of just like, because it's like 10 minutes of them fighting. I didn't make a ton of notes about it, honestly.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it then. There are cool moments in there that we could have discussed, but let's just go ahead and go on.
We can discuss some of them if you want. I just didn't write them down because it is hard for me to follow my notes with like action sequences and trying to make it make sense. So I just a lot of times don't.
I like how at the end, like how it like it laughs whenever it calls in the explosion. Like it's using Billy's laugh from before whenever he got the joke, which I think is important why the joke actually landed there, so they could get that laugh.
And
like, the Predator's like, all right, like you've got me, but I'm getting you too.
Well, and there's like a line where before he takes off the mask and he goes, what are you? And the Predator goes, what are you?
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh. Wasn't ready for that.
I like how he's also like, you're one ugly son of a bitch.
No, he says, you're one ugly motherfucker.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. At the end of the special features, all of the actors like did their impression of him saying that. So keeping it at 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same.
Man. Okay. So 10 out of 10. I don't really have any changes that I want for it personally.
I think you can up Anna's role a little bit.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to hurt the movie in any way whatsoever. I think it would make it a lot better, honestly. I mean, it's already an amazing movie, but that would just make it even better. Could be an 11.
Oh, crank it to 11. Yeah. Okay.
What did Talia think?
Well, Talia started off laying on the couch. She needed to go out at 23 minutes and 47 seconds. You know, it could be that she wasn't feeling it, or it could be that she was making sure she was ready for all the action.
Yeah.
So, you know, whichever way you want to look at that. And then she came back in and she was playing with her rabbit. She was getting really into it. And then at one point she farted really loud.
Oh, yeah, she did, didn't she?
She, like, let out a real loud fart, and she was like, whoops.
I wonder if she was, like, scared or something.
Yeah, so I think between, like, the rabbit, making sure she didn't miss any more action, and the farting, that's going to be a 10 out of 10 for Talia, too. Yep. As we said, Zoe did watch this because, hello, so many explosions. I thought it might be fun. Because Zoe has been watching more and more of the movies with us lately.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might be fun to change up the Zoe measure the movie. And maybe who Zoe thinks is the supreme hunter in each movie. Who's the ultimate warrior, the best predator, if you will. Who she admires the most.
I think
whose skill she admires the most.
I think she's like, we were talking so many times last night that she probably sees herself as the predator, that she kind of admires its skill set the most and its tools. Like she probably also has some variation of heat vision.
I would think though that she might also really admire Billy. Because he can just sense stuff in the air. You know, so there's an argument to be made for that as well.
I think Talia is Billy in that sense. Because Talia kind of gets that smell. Like, she'll, like, look around. I think she senses the place a little bit more.
Okay, so you think Zoe's looking up to the Predator the most?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just my guess.
She's
the ultimate hunter. And, I mean, that's what the Predator is. Like, it's the fucking ultimate hunter. That's why it came here.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Okay.
All right. So, who did you relate to?
Honestly, I'd probably have to relate to Billy, not fucking dealing with Hawkins's nonsense.
Yeah.
At least in the beginning. And then, like I said, I refuse to believe he actually found that second joke funny. I think his brain was just broken.
I'll relate to Hawkins because I think, like, if I were ever drafted into the army, I would be the one that is like, this guy probably doesn't belong here. Like, are we sure we needed to draft this guy right here? Did he really need to be a part of this crew? And I'd be telling stupid jokes too.
Look at this guy. He hasn't had his hair this short in years. Yeah.
Got glasses on. Well, I don't have to wear glasses, but you know.
Yeah, they're
I would still have them though, because I, you know, I'm being the stereotype.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. All right. Dream sequel.
Okay.
What do we want to see from the sequel?
Yeah, we have nothing. Seen. Yeah, we know nothing about any of the sequels.
I've seen Alien versus Predator.
I haven't.
Okay.
So I haven't even seen that. So for me, I want to see how it survived. Like that, I want it to pick up basically right where this left off.
Okay.
I want it to survive, and I want it to track Dutch and Anna to wherever their next location is.
See, that's the thing. Like, I feel like this movie perfectly sets Anna up to be an important character in the sequel.
Yeah.
I could see her, like, having a major role in the sequel. Yeah, I like that. Like, he sticks around. Different environment. Like, let's get them out of the jungle. Like, he happens to be called away to another mission.
Yeah, so he's following Dutch. He's tracking it. But his explosion wasn't actually an explosion, like that was just kind of a side effect, but he was sending a distress call. So now it becomes kind of like a reversal of the first one where some other predators, his team are coming in to rescue him. Yeah, against unfair. Arnie.
Arnie's going to get fucking killed. Him and Anna both are going to just get decimated.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not signing the contract for this movie.
I mean, I would like to see that. He has to, like, reform his own team. I don't know. We actually didn't see Dylan die, okay? Like, we saw it cut away before he got stabbed. That's what
I said, because last night you were like, Dylan's dead, and I was like, horror movie rules if you do not see the body.
As far as this movie's concerned, though, he died. Like, yeah. That's what we're meant to be believing as of now. So I want him to be alive. He's got a robotic arm. They have, like, they found leftover technology from the Predator, and they're like, all right, we can use some of this shit to, like, make actual...
I love that, especially if Stan Winston can be involved in our sequel.
It's gotta be, yeah.
And he does a nod to his own Terminator stuff. And
that would, like, be awesome. Yeah. Like, Arnold has to fight the Terminator this time? Oh, my God. What if it's Dylan? What if Dylan is the Predator, and he's like, you son of a bitch. And he arm wrestles him with the fake new arm. This is just getting stupid now. We should probably stop.
It is. Okay.
All right. New tagline.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right. Welcome to the jungle. Predator. I can't fucking see anything.
Oh, you won't see it coming.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, we workshopped that together. Yeah, yeah. That was a real team effort. Okay.
All right, cool. You won't see it coming. Yeah. Great. That's great.
Here's a little peek behind the curtains. When it takes a really long time for us to come up with a tagline, we are cutting out all of the silence.
We're not making the show up our ass like that.
About half of our, like, bad ideas get cut, too. Some of the sillier ones stay, but... yeah, just so you know, just so you have an idea of what our collaborative process is. Sometimes, like last week, one of us comes in with the perfect pun already, but most of the time it's
rare.
It's a lot of
it's hard. The only person that I know that is really good at rattling off taglines is Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the decision reel. Like he fucking, and he's also good at rattling off sequels. Like,
yeah.
Oh man. Well, we'll have him here later this month.
Yeah, he's going to be part of a scary movie episode. He's going to be joining us with a scary movie. Mm-hmm.
So we'll be able to test his abilities there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to have him come up with like 3 taglines.
Yeah. Okay. Time for an internet review.
Okay.
All right. So obviously I went with a bad review for this.
Yeah, because we both know that we love this.
So I got a 1 out of 10 on IMDb.
What?
I found it tedious is the title.
Okay.
There are guns and other weapons ablazing in this sci-fi thriller about an alien creature who's single-handedly wiping out an elite military team sent into the jungles of Central America to rescue some hostages. With all that, it sounds strange, but I found this tedious viewing all the way through. To me, It's most noteworthy for having two future U.S. governors in the cast. Jesse Ventura, future governor of Minnesota. Did not fucking know that.
Wow. Okay.
Played a small part, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, future governor of California, was the star. The story itself was repetitious all the way through. A triops through the jungle while being stalked by a monster, and the dialogue, as might be expected with this kind of movie, was weak. Schwarzenegger really was called upon to do every little thing except look tough. Wait, this doesn't make sense. Schwarzenegger really was called upon to do very little except... Oh.
Very little except look tough.
Except look tough.
Okay.
Which, admittedly, he does well. And I wondered, as any thinking person would do, why the creature didn't just kill Dutch when it had him by the throat pinned against the tree. I suppose because that would have taken away the chance to have the really cool ending with a huge explosion, and then Arnold standing victoriously in a macho pose as he looks around at the carnage. Tedious sums up all I need to say about this from my perspective.
Okay. I guess I could see that, because it is a lot of jungle action, and like I said at the beginning, I struggled with it at some points just because the vision thing for me really...
I mean...
It is a lot visually to be very monotonous.
They even mention themselves that the jungle is not cinematically like interesting to look at, and there's a lot of it, and they tried their best to make it look cool, and I think that they mostly succeeded, but I can definitely understand like how it just becomes bland after a certain point.
And I grew up watching a lot of war movies, so this is not anything that I'm new to. So it's an area I'm comfortable with, so I can see if it's not something that a lot of people watch that it like might feel tedious, because that's war isn't all like action. There's a lot of tedium too. Like
I feel like they broke it up pretty nice when they got to the guerrilla camp.
Yeah,
like that was cool.
I was pleasantly surprised because this is a thing that we go through with a lot of horror movies, like the ones that aren't very like cleverly written, that like, oh, person walks into a room, things happen. For some reason, they go to another room and things happen. And that feels very repetitious and tedious to me. And I feel like this movie kept it generally fresh with the way that they were doing stuff.
And even like just shots of the jungle were pretty like interesting, I thought, because they kept suspense there with the predator up in the trees. Like, you know, they're always kind of on their toes the entire time.
Yeah. So, but I can definitely see the perspective. Obviously, I thoroughly enjoyed it, though.
I did, too. I liked it a lot. But I can 100% understand how it could get old real fast, depending on what your taste is.
Yeah, depending on what you're looking for in a movie. Because I do think that war movies are a thing all on their own. Like, truthfully, they might not even like something like Tropic Thunder. Because there is a lot of, like, walking through the woods in it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, on to listener reviews. I got a decent amount today.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was blown up.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start off on Instagram. So Priscilla's says, goated movie, infinitely watchable, infinitely quotable. Absolutely, man. There's so many quotable lines in this movie. And like, it's just a fun movie to throw on no matter what. Like, I can just watch this thing and be entertained 100% all the way through.
We were talking with Brian from the TV Trivia Pod earlier about how I love to do a Jennifer Tilly. Your version of that is Dylan!
You son of a bitch. Oh, man, I do a terrible one. I think I do a good Dylan.
It's hard not to go Kermit-y with it if it's not an accent that you Kermit. Do other than to be
Dylan.
An overacting action star.
I mean, yeah, like, I think it's, everybody has an Arnold, just like everybody has a Christopher Walken. It's just because they, like, have... easy to like replicate voices, kind of.
It's not it's easy to replicate, it's that it's easy to pick up when you're trying to replicate,
right?
It.
Yeah. Not saying that they're all good, but like everybody recognizes it because they're so unique.
It kind of makes me think of like the karaoke montages of people trying to do the Get Down with the Sickness.
I also
see, that was bad. That was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was worse.
And yeah, like our first time watching this last year, we realized how many like meme moments are in this movie. Like, it's like, oh, that's where that's from. Like when they're arm wrestling. Like, I love that as a shot. Like, yeah, we're bubbies. That's like the bubby meme.
And betrayal is coming.
Yeah. Okay.
Bubby betrayal.
CubeSave says, perfect masculine camp, a genre I adore. You know what? That is kind of like a subgenre. I didn't even really think about.
You know what? I love that term.
Masculine camp.
That is so great because, like, they're, like I, you know, jokingly at the beginning, I was like, this doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Obviously, it fucking doesn't. And obviously, there's some moments in this that's really problematic. But when you think of it in terms of masculine camp, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I get it. I get why they wrote that line.
Well, like, I mean, I was also reading, like, you know, we got, like, so many large men in this movie, like we were saying before, but, like, boys don't get swole for the girls, they get swole for the boys. You know what I mean?
Just like girls don't wear makeup for boys.
Yeah.
Boys don't get swole for girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love this parallel. Mm-hmm. And we all know I'm a fan of a himbo.
Yeah.
Which you don't get that in masculine camp necessarily. Mm-hmm. This one anyway, but like
it lends
itself to that. So yeah. That's great.
I like
Man,
it.
Thank you for introducing us to that term.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
Great.
Okay, let's hop over to Twitter. Chat says, one of my fave movies of all time. Glad y'all have gotten around to watching that Blu-ray I gave you two wonderful folks a while back. Can't wait for the episode.
Yes.
Chat has like harped on this movie ever since we've known him.
Yeah.
So like he's really the one that championed us to finally get onto watching this thing. And thank you, Chat, because yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, when we watched it shortly after getting it, the first time it was so good. I think we even told him at the next meetup. We're like,
we did, right? Thank you.
Time.
Yeah. I think we thanked him whenever we were watching the movie.
Yeah. Actually, we might have thrown a tweet out or something in the group chat.
Ward Zombie says, who doesn't love this movie? It is like a sci-fi slasher, but the victims put up one heck of a fight. Great action, unforgettable characters, out of this world killer. Can't say enough good things about this movie. Ah, I see what you did there with the out of this world killer.
I like that, though, because that's a really good point about... We don't see it a ton. A lot of times in horror movies, what we get is somebody that has to learn to become this badass, but we've got these people that are already badass. They're already like trained for scenarios like this, and this goes a step beyond. So I do think that's a really interesting point that this movie takes. Kind of think about your next.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Erin, maybe the character's name?
Something like
that.
Yeah, it's Erin, yeah.
How she hadn't told... Crispin yet about her survivalist upbringing, and she ended up being perfect to take down the bad guys in that movie.
Yeah.
So I think it is something that if it was overused, it would be too predictable. But I think it works really well in this movie because they are generally trained for any scenario, but this is a step beyond that, and I think it's a great what is the word I'm looking for? Subversion.
Yeah,
maybe.
I just like the blending of genres, like taking action and blending it with like a slasher. I want to see slashers blended with other genres. Like, give me a rom-com slasher.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, for
great.
Real. I would love a rom-com slasher. I think another one that does this really well, also another Arnie movie, but like T2.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
definitely
like action horror also.
The first one especially, T2, I feel like leans a little
T2,
bit more towards
definitely.
Action.
Sorry, I'm very partial to T2, but yeah, the first one I'd say is definitely more horror. But
I think that's just the James Cameron effect, because he did the same
Aliens.
Thing to Aliens. Yeah, like, Aliens is more of an action than horror, but like, you know, it still has elements.
Yeah, definitely still has the elements.
Yeah. Okay, Aquili Boobs, he gave us a two-parter.
Okay.
So...
I love that when he does that because you know he's really feeling it.
Well, he loves this movie. Y'all, I watched this for the first time when I was maybe 9 or 10. Can't believe that the shit my dad and I would watch when I was a kid. I think a year later we started watching the Alien movies together. What's not to love about this movie? Action, a cool creature villain, a double cross. Arnold, one of my favorite 80s action movies, and the sequel, in my honest opinion, is even fucking better. Danny Glover taking on a predator in fucking New York City? Come on. That's what the sequel is?
It's Danny Glover?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God, we gotta watch it now.
He ends it by saying, get to the chopper!
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and our final review is from Drew. Figatron.
Okay. As is his name.
As is his name. The ultimate in action horror. Yeah, don't people say it isn't horror, but I disagree. The Predator does screw some things and is an unknown stalking killer. Scared the shit out of me when I saw it on VHS as a kid.
No, that's the point that I was saying. Like, they are being stalked through the jungle. It's a classic kind of horror setup, just like disguised in an action movie.
Yeah.
Like, package.
Well, I mean, like, even the director was talking about, like, he's like, yeah, they really wanted, like, they brought me in because I'm a good action director, but, like, they didn't really know that, like, I'm like a theater guy, and he's like, I had to like hide the fact that I love theater. So I was like, yeah, cars, guns, yeah. But then like, I'm actually like this kind of guy. And he's like, I just want to make like a good movie, like with this right here. And I think he had in mind probably, I was like, let's throw in some horror here.
Well, okay, sorry, kind of tangential, but that makes me think of Spencer Charnas of Ice Nine Kills, because he is a huge musical theater person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he
kind of makes sense with the shows that he puts on.
Yeah, but like also like he includes like very like it's not just your standard like metalcore type of sounds. Like he throws in a lot of like orchestral type moments almost sometimes, and he takes riffs from like famous musicals and stuff, and will put them in there.
That's cool.
Like the It's the End of the World, like, takes from, I forget which musical it is, but, like, it's, you know, and he's like, you know, I'm, like, secretly turning these fans into, like, they don't know it, but they're kind of musical fans now. I love, like, an undercover nerd, you know?
Yeah. This guy was awesome. Like, all of the people were talking about how they loved him, too. And he's like, you know what my trick was? Like, I hired, like, great actors because, like, I just wanted to turn them loose and let them do their thing. And Arnie. And a guy that I had to get security for. But, you know, like, great people.
I honestly, though, I do think Arnie does generally a good job. He just has to stay in his wheelhouse. And trying to pull up some PTSD is not his wheelhouse.
No, he may have gotten better as the years
have gone on. He was very young in this.
Yeah, this is early Arnie. But, yeah, nah, he fucking kills it in this. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for the reviews.
That's it. And God, I'm just so glad we finally talked about this. This is a joy. Yeah, I haven't stopped smiling. We talked about Child's Play before this. We're talking about Predator now. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about Spiral next week.
Yeah, we are. This is the first movie we saw in theaters after COVID.
Yeah.
Fun fact. So, but right now, because it isn't in theaters anymore, you have the option to watch it on Hulu. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay. Hulu, Fubo TV, Sling TV, YouTube TV, a premium subscription, or you can rent it from YouTube, Google Play, Fandango at Home, or Prime.
It's an interesting one. It's different, I feel like, but also kind of the same. But, like,
I like where they were going with it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts about it. I'm very excited to discuss it. And I can't believe that that means that next month will be done for now with the Saw franchise.
I know, but there is more, so we will be able to talk about some more of them. All right, so be on the lookout for that one. Watch that movie in preparation, or just listen to us talk about, whichever you prefer.
Do both.
Yeah, we suggest you do both.
Yeah. Draw your own conclusions. Don't just listen to us. You know, we have our very distinct taste in movies, and it's not everybody's taste in movies, but I think that's kind of the whole point of our show, that we're not any better or worse than any other horror fans.
And neither are you. Yeah, I'm talking to you right there.
What movie was it where he's like, oh, yeah, that's the point. We're all like, none of us is too bad for heaven or something. Like
Bloody Bible Camp.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everybody's.
Except for you.
Yeah, except for you. Everybody's going to heaven but you. That was Ron Jeremy telling us all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
And that's fucking Ron Jeremy, so that's wild.
Well, he was Jesus. So I don't know. Like, it's.
Hashtag not my Jesus.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the stuff that's come out about him.
Yeah. All right. So you can find us on social media. We have Twitter and Blueski at Least Fave Pod. Mm-hmm. Also on Instagram and Threads, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast, and Facebook, What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie? You can also email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. Some of you, it has been brought to my attention, have emailed us and accidentally got into the spam folder. So if you don't get a response from us fast, like, hit us up on our social media like the other person did. Because, like, I would have missed, because they sent in suggestions, and, like, they were all great suggestions.
Really good suggestions. Some stuff that we've already had planned and some that we hadn't really thought about so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, feel free to send us suggestions if you got anything through any of those outlets right there.
Yeah, which we're doing our second annual prom month next month, which was prompted by a listener suggestion.
True. So if you've got some prom themed movies.
The Muniz era, that whole bit came from, wasn't it Amber who initially suggested?
I don't know who it was. It might have been. Somebody did.
I can't remember who it was. Somebody suggested
Stay Alive.
Stay Alive. Yeah. Because we were trying to get the Rory Gilmore boyfriend trifecta.
Yeah.
And
I think we succeeded because of that.
Hat trick.
Yeah.
we did. And yeah, we ended up succeeding because we also had Eight Legged Freaks and, I mean, several J-Pads movies.
Yeah. So we couldn't have done that without you guys.
Yeah. So, yeah. So definitely send us your suggestions. We do read them, even if we can't immediately like implement them, or if we don't implement them for any type of reason, it's not. Yeah. So yeah. We really like getting those suggestions. Also, it's come to my attention. I know on our coverage of the second Unfriended Dark Web that I talked about Talia's Bye Bye list. And somebody let me know that they couldn't search that on Spotify. And I think that's probably because it's like tied to my personal Spotify stuff. I don't know how to make it public. I'm going to try and figure it out. But if you want the link to it, I will send you the link directly. Just
Talia's Bye Bye songs.
Yeah, yeah. Just shoot me a message. And one of us can give. We both control the playlist. Just so one of us will give you the link.
Bunch of jams of songs that our dog probably plays when we leave the house.
When we leave the house, or that makes her think of us. Yeah. Or that also just involves dogs barking.
Exactly.
Which there's a lot of those actually.
Some
out
good
there.
Jams in yeah. there. All right. We'd also like to shout out our patrons. We have Joe
Freegatron,
as is his name, Amber, Michael, Ward Zombie, and Tyler.
We thank you guys so much because you keep the lights on over on our website. You help keep us up with new equipment. The sticker printer that we now have for our budget tier patrons, that came from Patreon money. So that, you know, we're always using that stuff to go back to the podcast.
Yeah.
If you want to help the podcast in non-monetary ways, totally get it. Times are tough. Or, you know, also you just have the prerogative to spend your money where you want to spend it. You don't have to send it to us.
No.
But you can support us in free ways by just liking the show, subscribing to us wherever you're listening.
Sharing this stuff too on social media.
Sharing the stuff on social media gets people really excited. Make someone to check us out. Mm-hmm. Less people know that we exist. And leaving us reviews, because that's just good for our self-esteem.
Yeah, and we just like hearing from you guys too.
Yeah,
it's nice.
I like hearing the different episodes that people either think are really funny or prompted them to watch a movie. My favorite was somebody that got really excited about watching 48 Meters Down, as I like to call it, and they were like, what is this fucking movie? This is awesome. And yeah. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's a wild one.
Yeah. So, all right. And somebody was like, I haven't watched You Bro Party Massacre 3 in a while. I think that was Josh. And I was like, watch it. Watch it again. It's great. Yeah.
It's cool. So, yeah. Thanks for being here, everybody. We really appreciate you guys. And we look forward to seeing you guys on future episodes.
Yep.
All right. So, we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Schwarzenegger really was called upon to do every little. Excuse me.
Ah, burp.
Yeah. Oh, God, it smells too. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.